Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our quiet Christmas service, a service of peace. We recognize in our lives and in our world, there is nothing more needed than peace. Philippians 4:7 tells us the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's God's promise. Isaiah 9 says this, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, and those who live in a land of deep shadow, a light has shone. For the yoke that was weighing upon them and the burden upon their shoulders has broken in pieces. O God, our Redeemer." Let us bow our heads and pray. God of mercy, hear our prayer in this Advent season for ourselves and our families who live with sadness. We ask for strength for today, courage for tomorrow, and to make peace with the past. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is there with us in joy and sorrow, death and new life, despair and hope, anxiety and peace. Amen. We acknowledge that our feelings are at this time of the year are mixed. While most people are entering completely into celebration, for some, memories of the past and the sadness of the present may be overwhelming. We gather together to remember that Christ was born at Christmas. Our God came to us as the most vulnerable baby, and we come to Him in our brokenness. As the shepherds brought their lambs and the wise men brought their gifts, we bring ourselves and our burdens to lay before the Christ child, confident that in Him we will find hope, confident that we'll find comfort, and confident that we will have peace. We pray that you will find that as brothers and sisters in Christ, we share each other's burdens, and as children of God, He holds us safely in His arms.
Boy and girl, this is the time for fun.
As you entered the sanctuary this evening, you are given a prayer request slip. If you'd like to write down your prayer request, you will have an opportunity to bring them to the altar, and we will let them into God's throne room. If you did not receive one, our ushers can give you one now.
It's hard to get into the Christmas spirit when your heart is hurting or your mind is filled with worry. But the same God who loved us enough to send his only son understands us and is closer to us now than anyone else. I'd like to read a story that I found online. It's a very nice Christmas story. Jean heaved another world-weary sigh, tucking a strand of shiny black hair behind her ear. She frowned at the teetering tower of Christmas cards waiting to be signed. What was the point? How could you sign only one name? A couple requires two names, and she was just one. The legal separation from her husband had left her feeling vacant and incomplete. Maybe she would skip the cards this year and the holiday decorating. Truthfully, even a tree was more than she could manage. She had canceled out of the caroling party and the church nativity pageant. Christmas was to be shared, and she had no one to share it with. Deep in thought, the doorbell startled her. Padding to the door in her thick socks, Jean cracked it open against the frigid December night. She peered into the empty darkness of the porch. Instead of a friendly face, which she really could have used, she found only a cheerful green gift bag perched on the railing. From whom, and what for, and why? Under the bright kitchen light, she pulled out handfuls of shredded tinsel, feeling for the gift. Instead, her fingers plucked an envelope from the bottom. Tucked inside was a typed letter. It was a story. Jean began to read. The little boy was new to the Denmark orphanage. Christmas was drawing near. Already caught up in the story, she settled into a comfy chair. From the other children, he heard tales of wondrous trees that would appear in the hall on Christmas Eve and of the scores of candles that would light its branches. He heard stories of the mysterious benefactor who made this possible every year. The little boy's eyes opened wide at the mere thought of all that splendor. The only Christmas tree he had ever seen was through the fogged windows of other people's homes. There was even more, the children insisted. More? Oh, yes. Instead of the orphanage's regular fare of gruel, they would be served fragrant stew and crusty hot bread that special night. Last and best of all, the little boy learned each of them would receive a holiday treat. He would join the line of children to get his very own. Jean turned the page. Instead of a continuation, she was surprised to read. Everyone needs to celebrate Christmas. Wouldn't you agree? Watch for part two. She refolded the paper while a faint smile teased the corner of her mouth. The next day was so busy that Jean forgot all about the story. That evening, she rushed home from work. If she hurried, she probably would have enough time to decorate the mantle. She pulled out the box of garland, only to drop it when the doorbell startled her again. Opening the door, she found herself looking at a red gift bag. She reached for it eagerly and pulled out the piece of paper. The story continued. "To get his very own orange," she read. "An orange? That's a treat." "An orange of his very own." Yes, the others assured him, there would be one apiece. The boy closed his eyes against the wonder of it all. A tree, candles, a filling meal, and an orange of his very own. He knew the smell, tangy and sweet, but only the smell. He had sniffed the orange at the merchant's stall in the marketplace, but to taste one, to eat one, would be heaven. The story ended abruptly, but Jean didn't mind. She knew there would be something to follow. The next evening, Jean waited anxiously for the sound of the doorbell. She wasn't disappointed. This time, though, the embossed gold bag was a little heavier than the others had been. She tore into the envelope, resting on top of the tissue paper. Christmas Eve was all the children had been promised. The piney scent of fir competed with the aroma of lamb stew and homey yeast bread. Scores of candles diffused the room with golden halos. The boy watched in amazement at each child in turn, eagerly claimed their orange, and politely said, "Thank you." The line moved quickly, and he found himself in front of the towering tree and the equally imposing headmaster. "I'm sorry, young man, but the count was in before you arrived. It seems there are no more oranges. Next year you'll get one." Brokenhearted, the orphan ran up the stairs empty-handed to bury both his face and his tears beneath his pillow. Wait, this wasn't how Jean thought the story would end. She felt the boy's pain and his aloneness. But the story continued. The boy felt a gentle tap on his back. He tried to still his sobs. The tap became more insistent until at last he pulled his head from under the pillow. He smelt it before he saw it. A cloth napkin rested on the mattress. Tucked inside was a peeled orange, tangy and sweet. It was made of segments saved from each of the children, a slice donated from each one of them. Together, they added up to make one whole, complete fruit, an orange of his very own. Jean wiped the tears trickling down her cheeks. From the bottom of the gift bag, she pulled out an orange, a foil, chocolate-covered orange, already separated into segments. And for the first time in weeks, she smiled, really smiled. She set about making copies of the story and wrapping individual slices of the chocolate oranges and began to think who she could give them to. There was Mrs. Potter across the street, spending her first Christmas alone in 58 years. There was Melanie down the block, facing her second round of radiation. Her running partner, Jan, single parenting a difficult teen. Lonely Mr. Bradford was losing his eyesight. And Sue, sole caregiver to her aging mother. She would save one for the mailman, whose son was serving in the army far from home this Christmas. And her coworker, Anne, who was just let go from her job. A piece from her might make them whole. You see, each of these slices from the children were so much more than a piece of fruit. They were gifts. Gifts of love, gifts of friendship, gifts of caring, kindness, comfort, and sharing. Gifts truly from their hearts. Gifts that had more value than anything that can be bought. And Jean wanted to share the same with those she knew needed one this Christmas. And whether you give one or receive one, may it make you whole.
Let us pray. Loving God, we acknowledge that life isn't what we always would wish at this moment. We admit our pain and distress, our emptiness, and our mixed feelings. Knowing that they are a part of human life that was also shared by your Son, Jesus, hold us and protect us and give us your hope and peace this Christmastide. We ask this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. A reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verses 10 and 13. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, do not fear, I will help you.
If you are able, please stand for a reading from the Book of Psalms. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3 and verse 10. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gave away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I'll be exalted in the earth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated.
Tonight we light four candles of remembrance. We use the Christ candle as our source of light, hope, love, and peace. We light the first candle to remember our family and friends who were so much a part of our lives and are now at rest with our Lord. Those whose names we hold in our hearts. We remember them, their faces, their smiles, and the memories that bind them to us during this season. We give thanks to you, O God, for once having them, loving them, and knowing we will meet again. May God's eternal love surround them. We light the second candle to redeem the pain of loss, the loss of relationships, the loss of jobs, the loss of health. We gather up the pain of the past and offer it to God and ask that from God's hands we receive the gift of peace. Refresh, restore, renew us, O God, and lead us into your future. We light the third candle to remember each other this Christmas time. We lift all those who have asked for our prayers. We hold before you, O God, those whom we know need your love and peace. And we give thanks for all those who have stood by us in our time of need and for the support we have known from family and friends. We remember that the light of the world was born at Christmas and has not been overcome by the darkness. The fourth candle is lit to give light to our faith and the gift of hope which God offers to us in the Christmas story. Let us remember the one who shows the way, who brings the truth, and who bears the eternal light.
We invite each family to come to the altar and light a candle. For your own special intention. Your candle represents the light that will shine in your life and bring renewed hope and peace. You may also place your prayer request in the basket that's near the altar, right near the piano. The usher will guide each to the pew, each pew to come forward. When you light your votive candle, please start from the back to the front of the votives so that you're not leaning over an open flame. Also, please extinguish the candle you are holding before leaving the table. After you light your candle, you may receive a blessing from Pastor Choi as a family or as individuals. When our service is over, please come back to the table and you're welcome to take the candle you lit with you this evening as a light into your home and as an example into the world. The ushers will please come and bring our congregation forward. To the light of the world we bring all our darkness, knowing God will give us his light. To the child destined for the cross, we bring all our sorrows. To the baby in the manger, we bring ourselves, asking him to give us his peace. We lift these requests and special intentions to you, O God, that in your loving kindness, you will heal our hearts and our minds. Lord, we thank you for all you have given us. In your holy name, amen. You are now invited, we're invited to spend some quiet time in prayer and meditation. I'm sorry. I should be the one. Be still. I'd like to read a poem by Anne Weems from her book, Kneeling in Bethlehem. Into the silent night, as we make our weary way, we know not where. Just when the night becomes its darkest, we cannot see our path. Just then is when the angels rush in, their hands full of stars.
This concludes our service for tonight. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out tonight and spending this time with us for quiet Christmas service. We have this time together to look for a source of peace during this Christmas season. I would like to thank Pastor Choi, Jody and Jen, and Bob for making this possible for the past 4 years. You are all welcome to stay in the sanctuary once we close here after the final blessing to spend your own personal time with the Lord. And we also ask you and invite you to come down to the large classroom and enjoy some fellowship and light refreshments with us. In closing, it is my wish that all my family and friends who need a miracle will get one, that those who are ill and weak will find strength and comfort in knowing you are loved by the Lord and by all of us. That all who have heavy burdens to carry will have those burdens lifted. And my wish for all of us is to find peace and joy this Christmas time. Please stand now for our final blessing.
We have filled this place with the light of many candles. May the light of Christ go with us into the darkness. And may the peace and blessing of God, Almighty the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, rest upon you now and forever. And may you leave this place filled with hope and knowing that you are loved. Amen.